From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Playoff scenarios just got a little more complex for the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. I'm Ryan, the founder of Rogue Analytics, the president, as well as your host over at RGR Football on YouTube, where I go into a lot of visual depth about some of the things that we talk about here on the show. And if you're from YouTube, welcome. If you haven't checked that out, please do. I'm going to have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about the new developments in the NFL, how it affects the Kansas City Chiefs in what they're trying to do in 2020 and trying to get back to another Super Bowl. And then we're going to take a look at where the linebacker group stands right now with some of the departures and what we're staring at here as we get closer and closer to what the NFL says is going to be the NFL draft in May. Now, the NFL has decided that they're moving forward with the new playoff system in 2020. They have tentative dates, of course, as long as that they can fit the schedule in and get the season started on time, those will come to be. And that's fine. I think that's still a bit of a pipe dream at the moment, but we're going to see what happens. I don't think you can expect anything until training camp. And if training camp starts on time, the last weekend of July, they may be able to still get this done. But the long and the short of it is they have ratified that they are going to a 7-team playoff bracket per conference. So what the Chiefs did last year in gaining home field position is going to get a little bit harder in 2020. There's only one team that will get a first round bye. And that makes things definitely more difficult. I think it's still got to be a focus for Kansas City, especially with teams moving around. With Philip Rivers now in Indianapolis, I think they're a little bit farther down the line towards being a contender. With Tom Brady leaving the AFC, I think that makes things a little bit easier. So you get a plus and a minus there. We're going to have to see what Houston does. I think they're also a team in the AFC South that is going to push for it. But it comes down, again, in my mind, to right now, the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs have to be the odds-on favorite to be in that race, to be that number one seed and get the week off. That's going to be key. I think this is going to be a more grueling season. I think it's going to be an up-and-down season because of what we've seen from them and how the changes that haven't been able to go on, the things that we've talked about in terms of the draft and adding more players. Because if you don't get the number one seed, this is what ends up happening. The 2 seed will play the 7th seed, the extra team that gets in. The 3 seed will host number 6. And the 4 and the 5 seeds will play each other at the home of the 4th seed. A little bit different. You get 3 wild card games, and things progress from there. And they're looking at wild card weekend being January 9 and January 10. So after the first weekend in January, there will still only be 4 teams remaining per bracket, per conference. It's just that 3 of them will have played wild card games. 3 of them will have gone through roughly 80 snaps to degrade their ability to play the next week. And again, gives a big advantage to the one team that got to sit home and rest that week. Now, how it proceeds from there should end up not extending the season in terms of what it did, because with only one team sitting out, you still have 4 that are still in it there for the divisional round of playoffs before they get to the conference championship. So in terms of overall, it's not any longer than it was last season, the year before that, et cetera, et cetera. So it will be something to pay attention to, and the Chiefs will be striving for. When we get back, we're going to take a look about how they're going to go about that. To get your copy of The Athletic Matrix, go to rogueapc.com and use the code LOC20 to get 25% off of your purchase of The Athletic Matrix Metrics Report for the 2020 NFL Draft. That's over at rogueapc, that's rogueapc.com, and get The Athletic Matrix today. So for the Chiefs, as they start to look at 2020 from a practical standpoint, not just about roster building, but about how they're going to go about using that roster and what they have to accomplish, you have to take a look first and foremost at the 6 games you have in your division. Now, There's been some changes around the league. The Raiders have made a lot of additions on their defensive side of the ball, much like we expect the Chiefs to do in this coming draft. So overall, a lot of change there. I think Mike Mayock is trying to put some things together, trying to take away the middle. I feel that their particular offseason has been very much directed at taking away the middle of the field from Travis Kelce and the low to intermediate crossers that have hurt them so badly against the Chiefs in particular in recent years. Now, that doesn't mean that it's the only thing, but they are built better to cover, better to work in space than they have been in years previous. And that may go into something that the Chiefs are going to have to adjust to. The Raiders seem to be coming along. It's just very hard for me to say Las Vegas, but I'm trying to, especially when you look at the list of teams now where they're right underneath Kansas City and instead of listed as OAK, it makes things a little bit different. And I think that not only are they closer on any given list of NFL franchises, I think they're closer in competition. I think they've taken a step forward, and the Chiefs have to be very specifically paying attention to them in terms of the division. I do feel like the Broncos have made an effort as well to establish a better run possibility in their offense, try to protect Drew Lock, and try to keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes. I do feel that the Chargers, until they get their quarterback situation sorted out, they've made some interesting additions. Hopefully for them, they'll be a little bit healthier. You're going to see very soon the full range of draft analysts. Any Joe Schmo that gets 5 minutes to talk on television starts saying that the Chargers are now the favorite for this division, which is just another year of that kind of fodder. Don't let that get under your skin, because they have a very long way to go, and clearly they are under the gun at the number one priority position. Yes, they have edge rushers. They have a couple of corners. Their tackles are getting interesting. They're possibly better than they were, but the quarterback remains the premier position, and I don't feel that the Chargers have done enough yet. Do they end up with a guy like Herbert? I think that's probably where they're leaning right now. I do feel that the Spanos family has kind of a West Coast bias, to tell you the truth, in some aspects of the way that they recruit people. And I do like Herbert. I think he is a good prospect. I don't know about whether he can be a leader. And that leaves them with leadership on the offensive side coming down to Keenan Allen, which I don't think has worked out very well for the Chargers in the past. We're going to have to see if they can turn that around. I like that they brought back Eckler for them. I think that keeps the Chiefs on their toes and brings us back to what the Chiefs have kind of hinted at, and I think that they're going to have to follow through on, and that is finding a way to add coverage linebackers to this roster. Now, that is going to be kind of a tough order there. There is a possibility, as you've seen in some of the mocks that I've done on RGR, that some of the linebackers, the coverage guys in particular, all three of the top linebackers that are pretty much consensus picks in this draft class can cover out of the backfield. I think Ken Murray actually covers sideline to sideline a little bit better than Queen. I think Queen plays backwards better. I think Isaiah Simmons plays backwards better in a true kind of Tampa 2 kind of big 15-yard drop for what is a middle backer. They have that kind of range. I don't think that's what Murray has, but I think he's definitely in that shorter zone, the underneath, a guy that can run and get to where he needs to go. Maybe not turn it up field with the running backs, but I think that's definitely an aspect that they're going to have to take more hide in, more pride in, more effort to get that short up because of what we've seen these teams do around the AFC West. And if they can do that, I think that allows them to have a little bit of a backup plan in order to address the outlier teams, the teams like the Titans, the teams that want to run down their throat. I think the Broncos are going to give them a little bit of that. I don't know that I'm so worried about that because of the state of their offensive line. We'll see what they can get done. But I don't think that that is a primary concern for the Chiefs at this point. I think that really, at the end of the day, they feel that they need to prioritize stopping the pass first. And then how can they then make do when they need to. The signing of Mike Pinnell goes a long way towards shoring that up for when you do get a team that wants to come in there and play physical football and run at you and run downhill. That helps a bit. And as we talked a little bit last week, in order to add more coverage linebackers that if they're on the field three downs are a little bit more susceptible to run, you have to beef up the ability to stop the run with the front four. And I feel that that's where they're going, and I think that justifies and gives them the cover in terms of stopping the run to allow them to go towards the less heavy, the less head smacker type, and more of the coverage guys. Now, that doesn't mean that a Malik Harrison couldn't fall to them and they might go for it, who I think is an all-around downhill, not necessarily a coverage linebacker, but really an all-around guy. I do like him. He'll be available probably in the late second, into the third, so it's something that the Chiefs do choose to do. They could have an opportunity there. But when we get back, we're going to take a look at who's on this roster and what could they be thinking about shifting towards, given some of the things that they've done lately. We also need to tell you that we have a great offer on At Last, the commemorative book that was written about the Chiefs and their Super Bowl victory. It's written by Matt Derrick, who you heard the other day. You can get 25% off of this book all about the 2019 season, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, by going to triumphbooks.com/Chiefs win. And you use the code LOCKEDCHIEFS25 and you get a quarter, 25% off of the purchase price of At Last, the best book chronicling the Super Bowl victory by the 2019 Kansas City Chiefs. Hit triumphbooks.com and use the code LOCKEDCHIEFS25. Now, when you talk about filling in linebackers, taking chances on rookies, any rookie is a gamble. If you have what you know that you like, maybe you're banking on development. I think what we're looking at in this draft, with the addition of DeMarcus Robinson, whether Sammy Watkins stays or goes, I think that gives the operation of the offense enough familiarity that they don't have to go out and say, I have to have a wide receiver in the top 100. I have to have him in the first or second round. I don't feel that's where Brett Veach is going to be coming from. I feel like corner and linebacker and then interior line are still the priorities here for this team and for the roster that they want to build. But I think it also allows them to play around with it a little bit because of who they have where and the fact that they like some of these guys. When we look at who's on the Chiefs roster right now, if you don't want to spend a first round draft pick on Ken Murray or Patrick Queen, who both of whom could be there, you never know. And you don't want to spend a second-rounder pick on Malik Harrison because maybe he doesn't play the pass well enough. You could take a flyer on a guy like Willie Gay, but that's an issue all in and of itself. We'll have to talk about him later because of his injury history, because of his off-the-field history. A lot of baggage comes with Willie Gay Jr. And while he is an extreme athlete at the position and can play coverage very well, 63, I'm guessing he's going to be there. I see him as a third rounder because of all the off-field baggage. Maybe in this time and this particular draft year where you don't have in-house visits, he stays in that third round. That's where I would place him. There are teams that are going to want to put him up there, but without being able to do the in-person interviews and being able to get a feel for him personally on a one-on-one, going through a workout, etc., I think that actually hurts a guy who has some off-field issues on his background. So I do feel like Willie Gay is kind of a third-round type. I don't think he'll last until the Chiefs pick in the third round, at least if they only select the selections they have now. I don't expect that to be true. But if you're looking for that kind of thing, if you want extreme athleticism, you have to go get it. But we've seen this leadership, this coaching staff, make decisions that were a little bit, I don't want to say procrastination, but delaying what the eyes tell you you have to do because you have faith in the guys that you have on the roster already. So we know about the departure of Reggie Ragland. In the base defense, if you're looking for a guy that can be a little bit more of a true will, they have Adorno Daniel, who is quick on the hoof, If I remember, if I look at their athletic matrix scores, he is the fastest and has the best explosive range of any of the linebackers on the roster. But we know that he didn't catch on very well last year. We're not sure why, but we'd like to see more of him. We just don't know if we will. If they want to go smaller, and he is only 6'1", I think he weighed in at 225 at the combine. I don't know what he's carrying around now. We'll have to see. If they want to go with that, they have him there. And maybe he's come around, learned the system enough. Maybe Matt House has seen some kind of change, and we'll have to see that. If we had OTAs, we'd have a much better idea if that was going on, but we don't. So we have to kind of estimate that. But there's another possibility. If you want to move Anthony Hitchens out to the will, because he's pretty quick. He's played a lot of downs. The guy that he's played the most downs with, and the guy who's played the, I believe it's the second most snaps in 2019, other than Anthony Hitchens, is Ben Neiman. Could Ben Neiman run with the three-man linebacker group if you're in base? Probably. Still a little susceptible to the run, but that's, again, a conscious decision that this staff and honestly this whole league is making. And can he be the guy that is now the true nickel? Is Hitch and Neiman a thing that we're going to see in 2020? Being the two guys that are out there with four linemen in front of them and all the D-backs behind them. Do you have to run up a safety to play that nickel linebacker? Do you want to? Is Ben Neiman fast enough? We saw him play in some sets where it was just Ben Neiman and Sorensen. Can you get away with that? The Chiefs might be banking on Ben Neiman coming up and being able to be that other nickel backer. I don't think he has the explosiveness and especially the explosive range to carry down the field in the 15 to 20 yard range with tight ends in particular, but definitely with running backs. So I do feel that a draft pick here is still probably the best prognosis towards fixing the issue that they have so they can have a guy that's bigger than Dan Sorensen, who is good size at 6'2", and I believe 222 is what he was listed at. But Sorensen, I think, is best as a strong safety. I don't like him in the linebacker spot as much because I think it takes away some of the plays that he's able to make in the shorter range by being stacked so far inside in the nickel. I'd like to see him run as a true strong safety. And if the Chiefs have any kind of hiccups with Juan Thornhill or whatever this cornerback class ends up looking like, whoever's in the cornerback room, they might need Tyrann Mathieu to play more of the slot corner like we saw at the end of the 2019 season. And that means that to have a true strong safety, to have somebody that is faster and more able to cover than the linebackers, but not all the way at the back of the defense. That means that's what Sorensen has to do more often. So I want him freed up by a true nickel linebacker. And I think that's what they're going to be looking for first and foremost. If they can't get Queen, if they can't get Murray, if those guys are off the board, that changes things in the first round. And they might end up having to wait. And if they wait, this is the scenario that they're looking at with the Ben Neiman and the Dorian O'Daniel being options. Now, they have Damone Harris, but he's a pass rusher on the outside. He's not going to play off ball. I don't think I want him to either. They have Darius Harris, who's a really interesting prospect, but we have absolutely no idea how he's developed. And again, this is a player that is practice squad material, that has upside, has been recognized by the coaching staff as a guy that could make a difference. But you got to have practices to get that done. Without the OTAs, without the mini camps, without everything that's being canceled, and the more that I hear from people around the league, the more I feel like it is likely that we're going to see the entire offseason canceled right up until training camp. Without all those things, it puts a serious damper on what Darius Harris can get done. Same thing with Emmanuel Smith, who I don't think has the upside of Harris. Darius Harris, that is. I'm going to have to start saying first names all the time. I think that puts those guys behind the eight ball because they don't have the reps. They don't have the time with the coaches. They don't have the practice that they need in order to continue their development and make an impact on a Super Bowl roster. So at this point, it's a toss-up. The way the draft falls is going to have a lot of impact on where they have to go and just how desperate they're going to be to move around come draft night, particularly on Friday on the second day of the draft. Let me know what you think. I'm pretty solid on this, but you can leave us iTunes reviews, put your question in there. We'll try to review those. You can hit us at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter. I appreciate you guys today taking the time to listen through us. We're going to have a great show with you tomorrow. I'm trying to get Matt Derrick back. It's been a busy week for him. But there are a couple of wrinkles that we need to start looking at as they prepare for not having this offseason to get ready. I'm very excited. You can check out the Athletic Matrix. I have a deep discount for you guys if you use the code LOC20 at rogueapc.com. That's rogueapc.com. Check out the Athletic Matrix. It gives you a lot of insight into what a player can do, and you can see where they're going. So that's it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow with some more. We appreciate you listening to us today. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.